Okay.
Welcome to episode 456 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on this earth that discusses permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes prostitutes. Oh, yeah. Well, so glad to have y'all tonight on the Pimpcast because I got a guest in the house tonight that is going to knock your socks off. I have been a huge fan of her work for at least 5-6 years now, back when she was a regular on a lot of different shows out there, and she was dropping information that everybody else would go out there and parrot and, of course, not give any attribution. And everybody knows how much I just love that. Anyway, this episode brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st right here in North Carolina. TPC will get you 5% off. Barbara O'Neill's going to be out there, and we're going to have a bunch of other backup dancers out there 5 days straight, y'all. So, there's a reason why I've been talking a lot about health as of late, y'all, for a whole variety of reasons. And of course, I can't think of anybody better to talk about those things than Dr. Jane Ruby, but we'll get to her in a minute. Got to pay these bills. All right. For all you people that have been asking about that chemtrail buster I got out there, it's not the old-fashioned chemtrail buster. It's called the DPE Ag X. The thing ain't cheap, but I'm here to tell you, over my farm, blue skies, when they're dumping all that garbage from the atmosphere, from the sky every single day, is being neutralized. We got the testing to prove it. Well, we don't actually have it in hand, but anyway, I can tell you through anecdotal evidence on my part, and I've had two doctors analyze this thing, it is hopping and popping, and how it works, don't even ask. I'm just telling you that it works. I don't have a discount code for you, but that is the name of the device, DPE AgX. Look it up and go check it out. Like I said, it's not cheap, but it seems to be working quite well. Also, if anybody wants some of these ball and blue light blockers that I got on right now, Bond Charge, B-O-N, Charge, 15% off with promo code PERMA. And then finally, Soil Saviors. For all of you people out there, I've been teaching composting for how long now? And I know a lot of you don't have time or the wherewithal to go out and do it. Well, the next best thing, if you can't do it, Soil Saviors. It's in the link down below. So you want to get some of that, B-Square. Be there, B-Square. I don't have a discount code for that as well, but if you want a link for it, it's down below. All right, y'all. I wanted to handle all the housekeeping up front because, this is a rock star, if ever there was one, a freedom advocate. You name it. I mean, she's an American scientist. I'm going to read this straight from her ex, an American scientist, media or medical expert, health economist, and pharma whistleblower. And that is exactly how I know Dr. Jane Ruby's work. I will say, let me just tell this story right off before I bring Dr. Jane on. Check this out. I was speaking at a conference. It was a homesteading conference, and it was in Missouri. And this was about 5 years ago. There's at least 10 of us sitting at this table, and I'm speaking to someone that's across the table from me. And I brought up about somebody had said something about people that were getting the jab and the problems they were going through. I said, well, have you checked out Dr. Jane Ruby's work regarding these clots? And then the second I said clot, a sudden hush came over the entire table. And then a lady from Off Grid with Doug and Stacy, she looks, her head whips around and says, you know who Dr. Ruby is? I said, yeah, I listen to her stuff as often as I can. And so everybody at that table knew who Dr. Jane Ruby was. Here's the sad part. About 2% of us at that table, maybe 1%, would even go out and talk about the stuff she was talking about. That's how cutting edge it was. Dr. Jane Ruby, thank you for coming on the Permaculture Pimpcast. How are you?
I am doing great, Billy. I'm so excited to be with you. It has been a long time coming. You actually are so well thought of by some very special people to me. So I'm just excited to be here and, you know, let her rip. Whatever you want me to talk about, I'm excited. There's a lot to talk about.
You know, unlike a lot of other medical professionals that I've had or wanted to come on this show before, they would always ask for a list of questions. You didn't ask for any of that. So I love the fact that you're willing to shoot from the hip and, you know, let it fly. Dr. Ruby, yeah. You know, just for the people out there that aren't yet acquainted with you, I mean, before you became something of a public figure, who was Dr. Ruby and what originally drew you into the work that you do now?
Yeah, that's wow. That's a great combination question, honestly. I have had a couple of different lives in the medical field. I'm a licensed nurse practitioner. I've worked in the hospitals, in acute care settings, hospitals, ICUs. Then I went on to start doing research, and I finished a couple of PhDs, a couple of master's degrees across a 25-year period. I was very active in sleep medicine, ran a sleep neuro lab for one of the top five sleep experts in the United States. And then I went on to do some pharma studies for, you know, externally, and I was recruited up into the industry where I then spent another 20 years out of another chunk of my life on the medical research side of pharma. And I kind of retired, quit in early 2021. You know, I went to the last day of not getting the shots. And I thought, not only am I going to get out of this industry, I'm going to warn people, you know, from what I know, what's been going on, because I could see the red flags. I could see this was a very dangerous thing early on, because it wasn't, so many pieces were not jiving with the way pharma and FDA had previously worked. So that's kind of my beginning, but I've worn a lot of hats, and that's why I'm very authoritative when I speak about research studies and informed consent. And those are all things in my wheelhouse.
So, I mean, for a lot of people that break some of the information that you've broken, some big stuff out there, folks. I mean, you're right. She's the one that broke the clot shot. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Ruby.
Yeah. And I want to, you know, make a differentiation, excuse me, because these shots interfere with all kinds of things in the body. And yes, they do create blood clots, but that's not what the worldwide exclusive story I broke. It had nothing to do with blood clots. It was a white sort of rubbery clot, very strange, that embalmers were finding when they tried to go into the blood vessels to insert embalming fluid. And I've been attacked by some of the biggest names in the health freedom movement, which tells me they're frauds. The people like Dr. Malone and Dr. Ryan Cole and people who dampened and said those stories were ridiculous. I was put together with the first embalmer by somebody who is impeccable. And that is one of the three DOD whistleblowers. I don't know if you know the three people, Dr. Peter Chambers, Dr. Teresa Long, and Dr. Sam Sigaloff. They were the first to come forward with the medical version of VAERS, which was much more direct, and said, hey, this shot's killing our military. So this woman she's been up on Capitol Hill a million times. Nobody's ever disputed her integrity. And it was Dr. Teresa Long that called me one night. I didn't even know her, but I knew who she was. And Billy, she said, I've got this embalmer. I was just at a funeral for one of our people. And he said, you won't believe what I'm pulling out of veins. I've been doing this for 20 years. I've never seen it before. So I worked with him for about 6 months. And yes, then once I vetted him and his story, many nights on Zoom with him and his wife in the lab, the samples, talking about them in detail, then showing me a video that his assistant holding the camera. I mean, all of this put together. Then I came out with a story in January of 2020. And I was the only one that broke that story. People subsequently stole the material. They left me out of it. They pretended I didn't exist. And they were able to twist certain parts of it, which is a shame. But we've overcome a lot of it. I'm probably grateful that I'm still healthy and alive, since they went to such great lengths, you know, to block the story, distort it, and push me out of it, because they knew I wouldn't go along with anything like that.
You know, I think part of the reason everybody loved you around that table when I brought up your name was everybody is sick and tired of these mealy-mouthed health professionals that kind of halfway give you this and halfway give you that. Here you are going on a show where you used to be a, you know, pretty regular, and you were dropping tactical nukes out there regarding this whole thing. Now, for other people that have done the kind of work that you've done, they have suffered greatly. Has any of that been a problem for you? I mean, have you had any of the, I'm reluctant to even ask the question, but I got to, because when you're dropping something that is so counter to what the narrative is out there, there's inherently a lot of risk with that. Did you suffer any of that?
Well, when you say suffering, or what are you referring to? I don't want to assume.
Death threats or anything of that kind. You know, missing tires on your vehicle, lug nuts just come off. I mean, they got pretty ways of working with somebody.
It's a concern. Yeah, it's a concern. A member of my family was phoned in the middle of the night about 4 years ago. And when that happened, it just told me that, I'm going to have to, I sat down with my family. And we, you know, disavowed the public connection. Now, look, if somebody wants to go that far, I'm not saying anything is bulletproof, but I learned then that I had to take precautions. I mean, I will use the public figure card in with my county, to try to anonymize, my personal information. But I'm mostly, you notice I've never spoken about my family. A lot of influencers, a lot of podcasters will say, well, I'm doing this for my wife and my kids and this and that. And I've had people make up stories like, oh, she's got four kids or, something that is not true. But I mean, they'll come and say, oh, her mother, my mother's passed away, but her mother yesterday did such and such. And I never refute it, Billy. Like they say things like she has no relationship with her family because they're trying to bait me into defense and say, wait a minute. Yes, I do. My family loves me. I don't need to do that. We all know that we love each other. I never talk about them. There's one relative, but he's in his 70s and I think he can take care of himself. And that's my brother who's been a lawyer for 30 years and a judge and a great confidant. A brilliant jurist. But anyway, other than that, I don't talk about my family. So we just try to be careful and have people focus on what I'm saying. Take it out on me. If you have an issue, complain to me. Don't drag innocent people in that have nothing to do with this. This isn't their life work. They haven't chosen to do this.
Well, I'm glad you got all that squared away. And for a lot of reasons, my son, who's also doing this kind of work, and myself as well, we're very, very cautious these days because we've been attacked ever since we started talking about, the money that we raise for Vets for Child Rescue or, the Caleb House where they gather up these kids. All of us, everything was cool in the world when I would talk about permaculture, how to grow a tree, how to do this, how to do that, how to raise your animals for free, all of that stuff. But the moment the attack started coming out of the woodwork was the moment we started talking about child sex trafficking and raising money for it. Then all of a sudden we got witches lined up out here in the whole nine yards. So I'm glad none of that is heading your way. So Dr. Ruby, let me hit on this COVID thing and feel free. You just say it the way you feel. Don't feel like you have to censor yourself. None of that stuff.
Yeah.
For all the people that are listening on YouTube, you're going to see the version of this that YouTube will allow, and everybody else, whether you're on audio format, which is by far our biggest, or on Rumble, you're going to see it the way it is. So kicking off this COVID thing, I mean, right from the get-go, there's a number of us out there. Look, if the government says it's good, I'm always going to think it's bad. But what was the major red flag for you during the whole COVID era that made you question the official narrative?
The biggest thing for me was the lockstep nature of how every health department in every state was blocking or criminalizing to some degree the use of, at the time it was hydroxychloroquine, it became hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. They said something immediately, Billy, that was a lie. Now, remember, with my medical background and nurse practitioners, oftentimes I studied in the medical school at the University of Rochester. That means we took our physiology, advanced physiology, pharmacology in the medical school because we're going to be prescribers like a physician. So one of the first things that they said was, you'll lose your license if you prescribe hydroxychloroquine off-label. And I thought, whoa, off-label means something other than that for which the drug was approved initially by the FDA. The difference is a prescriber can legally prescribe anything. I can prescribe anything as long as I have a good reason for it if it's not approved for that purpose. The difference is if I'm representing a pharmaceutical company, a manufacturer, a marketer cannot market it for anything other than what is on that label. The label is your package insert, that little piece of paper in your aspirin bottle that you toss away when you get a bottle of, you know, whatever at the drugstore. Well, those things are in your prescription things too, but you don't always get them in the box or the bottle or whatever you get. That's called the marketing label. And you have to, when you work for a company, you, whether you're on the medical side or the marketing side, you got to stay in that label. The only exception was, for me, when I worked in pharma, I was talking to university researchers in anticipation of future research, and I could talk to them about their ideas for studying the drug. But the point of your question is, there's nothing that precludes a prescriber, remember, a writer for drugs, to write something off-label. And I thought, that's wrong. How could the government, that's a lie. So that distrust from the beginning, I knew something was wrong. And then the other thing that caught my attention, and I don't think a layperson would ever know this, the application of the masks, the forcing of the mask, any nurse or doctor knows that the portals of entry, the most common and vulnerable portals of entry for a bacteria or a fungus or something right into the body is the nasal passage and the eyes. It's not the mouth. The mouth is filthier than anything you could imagine. I mean, from a organism concentration standpoint. So I thought, oh, you want me to cover my mouth and my nose, but not my eyes? You're not worried about, you know, this isn't going to be transmitted that way. So those two things put me back on my heels. I just did an interview with somebody earlier today, and I said, they caught me for a few days in March of 2020. But it was only a few days, and I started seeing these things. And that's how I knew something was seriously very dark and very different.
How did your colleagues, I mean, clearly you saw a red flag right off and said, hold on, this makes no sense. Mm-hmm. What was the general, thought of your colleagues? Did they care? What was their reaction?
Well, by that time, by March of 2020, I was literally finishing my 20th year in the pharmaceutical industry. So I wasn't in a hospital. I wasn't in a doctor's office. You know, I wasn't with clinical colleagues. I was with colleagues that were a collection of PhDs and medical people, non-medical people, analysts, business people. So it was hard to get their attention on a lot of these things. And even my managers at the time, that most of them were like PhD pharmacists, they were just going along with it. People weren't stopping to think, right? I mean, because if I believe that a portion of the medical doctors knew, but pushed it anyway for the money. And for them, they will have serious karma. The other ones were either lazy or careless, didn't want to be bothered, blindly followed the CDC recommendations and never bothered to go beyond that. I was always questioning things. When I was in nurse practitioner school, not so much in, you have to be an RN before you're a nurse practitioner. I didn't question it so much because as an RN, I just, you're taught to really follow the rules, and I didn't have enough experience to question things. By the time I got into nurse practitioner school, my nickname was House, like Gregory House, that show, Dr. House. Because people would say, oh, yeah, it's probably this third degree, whatever. And I'd say, no, there were these other things, and I think we ought to look at this. And I don't think, because you at that level, it was medical diagnosis and treatment, and you had to have balls big enough to question and say, no, I'm not going down that lane. I think the person's got this. I think we should do another test and look for that. So that was kind of how I came up through it and how I figured out for myself early on, whoa, don't touch this stuff. And then, of course, you know, as the weeks and months went on, I met kind of heroes at the time. Dr. Simone Gold had an explanation that made every bit of sense to me medically. Whatever she did after that or said or who she was with, I don't know and I don't care. But in those first few months, she was telling me, she was saying things and publicly proclaiming things that I could verify and vet medically, in physics, in physiology. So I thought, wow, we have something really dangerous here. And other people like Dr. His name escapes me. He's an expat. I think he's a Thai expat.
I know the guy you're talking about. Yeah, Thai.
In Germany. Yeah. Now, right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I apologize if he's watching. It'll come up. It'll come up in my head. Just a brain.
I know exactly who you're talking about, and I can't think of his name either. Yeah.
Oh, he's wonderful. Yeah. Hey. Mild mannered, just so mm-hmm. brilliant. Explained that what this pathogen, these synthetic proteins are doing is they're forcing the body to replicate and then situate themselves on the cells of your body so that your body essentially recognizes yourself as foreign. That's why all the damn, you know, that's why the different, you know, reactions from different body systems. Anyway, we could get into that later, but I don't want to go too far afield. But I just saw a couple of those things. And when I said something to my colleagues in the pharma industry, it was, don't worry about it. Remember, people are making big money in that industry and people didn't want any boats rocked. And it was also new, right? Those same people today or a couple of years later might, you know, they might have reacted differently to me. But in these early weeks, it was a lot of different reactions and non-reactions.
So let me ask you a rhetorical question, because I think I know the answer because I listened to your show. What do you think? And I've heard you in a number of times, you know, sitting in for Alex Jones or Owen Schroyer back in the day. And I just got to ask right out, for there's a lot of farmers out there that listen to this podcast. There's a lot of people in the preparedness industry listening to this podcast. And you're going to say things that maybe they haven't heard in their circles. Maybe as of late, they might have, because I have interviewed some people that have basically called out a lot of what's going on right now, like Jack Cruz and a number of others out there that have been on recently and even saw him down there in El Salvador. But I got to ask, what do you think the intent was for these shots? COVID, people can argue about this and that. And then the rollout of the shots, what do you think the intent was? Was this just murdering corporate, or am I just being hyperbolic?
No, not at all. No. To those who are hearing this or starting to digest this for the first time, I ask you to have an open mind. You're hearing this from someone who's been in this day in and day out for 5 years. I didn't just show up on the scene. I bring a lot of eclectic pieces. I've written sworn to affidavits on behalf of the former JAGs that were trying to stop the military mandates in 2021. I've put my life and my name on the line. These affidavits have been submitted into federal courts all over the country, very famous cases. So what I'm, you know, I do have the weight of credentials and experience. What I'm going to say to you is, I don't know the entire purpose, but I do believe that it's getting very, very, the other factors, we used to factor things out in studies. The other explanations are fading away. This is a depopulation agenda. You don't depopulate. I don't know if I believe 8 billion. I don't know how you could count every person on the planet. I think it's more like 2 or 3 billion, but whatever it is, I don't think you can call remove or hasten the removal of a billion or two people in a short period of time. You need multiple angles. You need different types. I do feel an acceleration from everything I've seen. I do believe that we have a combination of a spiritual war. I believe that we are all, you know, kind of carrying, you know, the potential for great evil and great good. So I think in some people, if you want to look at it, I'm not talking about ghosts and aliens. If you want to look at it, some people are bringing forth the evil because that's just the way they're generating their energy and their frequency. But I do think that there's a force that is the explanation for the lockstep nature of every, forget just the hydroxychloroquine and the ivermectin in 2020. Everything you've seen in the last 5 years is happening in a lockstep nature, whether you want it to or not. I just had this discussion in this earlier interview, so it's very timely. Everything continues. Do you notice that? Every data center is going up, whether you go to your town hall or not. Every flock camera is going up, whether you rip them down or not. There is a march forward. There's an intent. There is an attack. Maybe the farming community would be interested, because this is closer to your wheelhouses, in understanding that one angle of closing in on civilization and humanity is to block their ability to grow their own food, to block their ability to be independent from the growing grid of big everything, big agriculture, big food, the control, right? The centralization. You mentioned Dr. Jack Cruz talks constantly about the concept of centralization. You want to do the opposite. You want to decentralize yourself. You want to decontract yourself with the government in every possible way you can. But if they're spraying the airways, constantly pounding it with heavy metals, parasites in their eggs, other kinds of vermin and poison, whether it's organic, animal, eggs, whatever, mosquito, larva, venom, whatever it is, to keep pounding the air, which comes down into the soil and into the water, they're getting ahead of the Earth's ability to recover and replenish. And that's the scary part to me. You know, this is a big world, and we don't even know the extent to which God designed our ability to fight poison and pathogens, which is good news. And we don't know the extent to which the Creator made the Earth. And we don't even know everything about our Earth. So with all that, I say, there's no other excuse. There's no other explanation than we have, we don't really have a government anymore. All of this is captured. And so whatever this, you must look above the government, above the three branches, above the president. And so there's a lot happening, as Dr. Shiva, who ran for president, Dr. Shiva says it's a swarm method. They're coming at you. They're poisoning the air. They're poisoning the water. They're using up the resources. They're buying up hundreds of thousands of acres so that you can't branch out. And they're going to corner us and box us into a theoretical kill box, which is a military term for sequestering like as many people as possible. That's why the admonition, get out of the cities, is important. Now, can everybody get out? No. We're going to have to think that through. I just don't, there's nothing good that can come out of injecting people and forcing them over and over again and threatening them with it. There's no good to come out of it. It has damaged human beings. It has damaged the human genome. From molecular biologists tell me that this is the kind of thing that through natural biology, like reverse transcriptase processes, that this material is going to hide for a generation or two and then come back. And so it's causing infertility. It's causing a lot of illness and injury. And that's good for the pharma industry, which the government is, they're all one, in my opinion, the pharma industry and the government. And the reason I say that is because they're really involved in a RICO money laundering transfer of wealth scheme. All this is sucking off the money. So that's that part of it. So everything they're doing in this swarm approach, right? You find out that the, I know Dane Wigington might, and he's a dear friend. He hates when I use the word chemtrails. We're supposed to say geoengineering. I'll call it anything you want. Weather warfare, weather manipulation, atmospheric poisoning. There's no good that can come out of that. You can't, they can't sit there and tell me that something good, that that's being done. And we learned through, you know, the school of hard knocks, we learned through making mistakes last year in investigating that the primary conduct of these aerosol assaults on us are being physically conducted by our military. There are literally bases dedicated, air wings they're called. They're dedicated to spraying all day long, spraying back and forth and back and forth and in their regions. So it's a lot of doom and gloom, but that's not all there is to the story. I tell the red pill, the black pill, whatever you want to call it, whatever the pill is, everybody wants the truth pill, but nobody wants to swallow it, right? I'm a hero until I bring you the truth and you have to do something with it. And then I'm a bitch. And that's what happened with the Real Clear Skies, the all those different organizations that were very organic. They started to work on state chemtrail bans. And I figured out pretty quickly that that was fake. Those weren't going to go anywhere. And therefore, those state legislators were frauds. Why? Because they did the same thing Ron Johnson does, senator from Wisconsin. You just do the dog and pony show. And then they go, oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I got you that law. Can you give me a donation to my next reelection campaign? Yeah, that's all it's for. And I'll tell you why. Because there isn't a state chemtrail law today that exists, Florida, my own state included, that has an enforceability clause. There's no enforceability because it's a federal program. So what happened to those groups, Billy? Those grassroots, you know, groups, Clear Skies, they started to besmirch me on social media. I'm psychotic. I'm a grifter. I'm a fraud. Jane's this, Jane's that. Because that told me they were in on it, right? Because instead of saying, right, wow, okay, we got to go back to those legislators and say, no, you're not done yet. They didn't want me to talk.
No, I'm not at all surprised. I mean, I had a conversation with Dane a while ago. I was roped into a conversation regarding a lot of, in fact, I just happened to be in El Salvador at the time I was doing it, and only to come later on to realize that most of the people that were in there were actual grifters. You know, I'm out here rocking for the love, and I know you are too, and I'm trying to do some really big things to change things, and there are other people, you know, trying to figure out ways in which they can aggrandize themselves in the process. And that's exactly the kind of people I don't want to talk to. So Dr. Ruby, since you brought that up, I mean, I was going to bring it up anyway, so I'm glad you did. There you are down in the Sunshine State. They passed a law down there just like they did in Tennessee. Have the chemtrails improved in Florida?
No, and this is exactly, you mentioned Tennessee. Tennessee was the first state, to my knowledge, to pass a state chemtrail ban. At that time, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I thought, okay, well, this is really wonderful. Could this be something? And that was the last time I had hope for anything. Because of what I do, Billy, because of the visibility, I started getting lots of messages, lots of direct messages, lots of private, lots of emails, lots of mail. And people from Tennessee were saying to me, Dr. Jane, they haven't stopped. In fact, they're worse. And I thought, what? Wait a minute, you've had a ban in place for 8 months? And that's when I started to dig. And I worked with a wonderful legal researcher named Catherine Watt, W-A-T-T. For those who have not heard of her, she's kind of gone a little underground, but her archives are listed on my Twitter. And it's their, her opus work was called The American Domestic Bioterrorism Program. She lays out every law and every policy for the last 50 to 100 years that have been systematically added to give the government, every president, listen to what I'm saying, every Congress, every judiciary, the ability to commit these crimes or allow them to go through. And so I went to her after this state of Tennessee thing, because at that time, Florida was about to get, ours went into effect July 2025. And I said, Catherine, something's wrong. I got these real clear skies, you know, maniacs are coming after me. Why aren't they celebrating the fact that I discovered this and that the work's not done yet? And she went back in, she looked through all these laws and she said, Jane, there are hundreds of exclusions in the US code. These bastards have written themselves every carve out that's possible. NOAA is involved in it. That's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They actually funnel money to NGOs like UCAR, which is University Corporation to Advance Research. They're not anything of anything of anything. It's not a university. It's not a corporation. They are a sleazy NGO that gives billions back into universities, including University of Florida, to make more poisons and technology to poison the sky for these dispersals in the air. So it's this revolving, you know, cycle of crime. That's why it's racketeering. It's government racketeering. It's corporate racketeering. It's individuals that are racketeering.
The people I know that live in Florida, the friends I have down there, they say that it's only gotten worse, just like it did in Tennessee. Would you agree with that? Or
100%.
Now you, as I understand it, you even collected some of the material on a greenhouse of yours and you sent it off to get tested. What did you find out?
Let me tell you a little bit about the background on that. When we started to get really concerned about the chemtrails, I installed, and they're individual units. I put them in several rooms in my house. I'm not selling anything, so I'm not even going to mention their name. I don't even affiliate for them, but they're very sensitive to particles in the air and heavy metals and things like that. And they will go off. You'll hear them. You'll see the lights. And there's a very heavy duty cleansing thing that goes through. The reason I'm telling you all that, Billy, is because I would open my sliding doors in the evening, could hear the crickets, an occasional bird, you know, the sun was going down, dusk, and these things started to freak out. I mean, on red, there's a whole bunch of different colors that go up to red. And I thought, what the hell? So I would close the door an hour or two later, because this thing felt, I mean, cleans and cleans and cleans. It went back to green. Now I did this for a few days in a row. We knew they were spraying. We could see the lines and everything else. So then we started seeing my backyard faces due east. And as far as the crow flies, it's about 2 miles from the ocean. So we would see these orange fogs roll in the morning. I'm like, what? Close to the ground. I'm not talking about. And I thought, whoa, wait a minute. So inadvertently, though, I had set up these polyurethane tarp greenhouses because I didn't want my plants to be getting all that fallout. But after several months, I started to notice that they were becoming unclear, murky. And I would try to scrape the stuff off. It wouldn't come off. I hosed it. Wouldn't come off. So I was sitting there one night and a friend of mine was over with her husband. And she said, you know, you ought to roll those tarps up and send them to Mike Adams. Well, I don't know if you know Mike Adams, the health ranger, long-term friend, a great partner to work with, a lot of different projects. Mike was the only person who, by the way, I always have to give him a shout out, who came to my, you know, had my back when they stole my story and put out Died Suddenly, which was my story. And then it was misrepresented and they made a ton of money on it. I should have sued him, but I didn't need the stress, right? And it was convoluted because they had a lot of different people involved. But Mike Adams was the only person who came out at that time and basically said, where was Jane? Here's Died Suddenly, but where was Jane Ruby? Long story short, if you understand what Mike does, he has an ISO, a nationally certified lab. He's got spectroscopy for heavy metals. He's got chemical analyzers. He's got these booths where he can pour acids on things. He looks at food for toxins and things like that. He has the perfect setup. So I called him. I said, would you want to look at these tarps and maybe, you know, see if you could scrape them and look at them? And so I folded it up, chain of custody, the way he told me to do it, put it in more plastic, shipped it to his lab in Texas, and he set about doing different studies on it. The spectroscopy looks at metals, Billy. And so that was the most informative. And I'm coming to the answer to your question. There is, and I would refer people back to my Twitter account, my Telegram account. If you put in a keyword and put maybe Mike Adams aluminum or something like that in my channel, it'll bring up those charts. And we did a lot of, it's on Brighteon, Mike's channel. We did a number of interviews where we interviewed each other. He did a lot of live microscopy on Alex's show where he'd bring me in. I'd be on the, you know, the screen, and Mike was there with the microscopes and pieces of the tarp. And he'd got incredible microscopy collection, right? One machine he just bought was over $1 million. He's been waiting to buy that. So it's very specific and, you know, all kinds of capability. What he found was shocking. The amount of the concentration of aluminum on the tarps that had been accumulating, falling from the air on a daily basis was off the charts. When I tell you higher than anything you could even imagine, those of you in the farming industry might find it interesting to look at those charts and see the parts per million, right? The one of the things that was there that should never be there, doesn't matter the amount, is mercury. We're inhaling mercury, which is highly carcinogenic. And if you inhale enough of it, you'll just die on the spot. But they can't have people dropping dead all over in the communities because then it would get people's suspicion up, right? But the aluminum was high. Radioactive metals like cesium-137, wow. Super prevalent. Just unbelievable. You would think this would go viral, Billy. You would think that people would come out of their houses and rip down every local and state government building and say, we've had it. We're done. We're done. Everything stops now. But they don't. And it's still happening. And you're still burying your friends. You're burying your children and your little babies. And you're burying your parents. And you're not using your head.
Dr. Ruby, what do you think it's going to take? I mean, I'm to the point now where when the whole Epstein list came out and nearly everybody we know around here just kind of yawned, and my wife and I said, look, okay, let's go on down to El Salvador. We're going to go down here for a couple of weeks and go just get away from these morons. And we went down there. First thing she noticed, not a single chemtrail in the sky. Not one, the whole 2 weeks there. And I've monitored every bit of it, put it on X, not one. And I was 2 miles from the airport as the crow flies. And I'm like, okay, so nobody's going to tell me that they're taking off jets and landing them the whole 9 yards out here. And supposedly it's just, you know, they give you all this nonsense about what it is or isn't. And came back, told everybody, shout it from the mountaintops. Hey, there are no chemtrails down there. I saw it with my own two eyes. And a yawn. Epstein comes out, yawn. All these people in government murdering people on our behalf, whether you know it or not, we're a party to genocide over there right now, and a number of other things. Dr. Ruby, what do you think it's going to take to wake up the United States of amnesia?
Wow. That's a tough question. Couple of thoughts on that. And first of all, I agree with you. They're not going to, it's costly to run that poison back and forth. They're not going to spend that money over, you know, a small swath of land like El Salvador or a Caribbean island, you know, to hit, you know, a few thousand people. They want to get hundreds of thousands and millions of people. So I spend a lot of time in the Caribbean for various reasons and quite central and south. And I have a friend who just bought a new home, like a compound. It's going to be our escape hatch in Curacao. Curacao is one of the ABC islands, Aruba, Bonaire, Curacao, down off the coast of Venezuela, and literally about 100 miles just above the equator. There, the air is so clean, I mean, it's all the same atmosphere around the globe, but it's just that it will concentrate. Of course, they're budging it and moving it with their direct energy, manipulation. But I didn't see them either. And the air was cleaner. I never felt better. And of course, when you're close to the equator, as Dr. Cruz will tell you, you're in that 20th, within the 20th parallel, which is the way where I want to spend the rest of my life. And I am now. I'm at the 22nd or something, but I'm close enough here in South Florida. But that's why I spent a lot of time in the Caribbean. You're healthier. The light is right. The light waves, the infrared is right. And I think it has a lot to do with your ability to naturally cleanse and replenish and reset yourself. But what do I think it's going to take? I'm sorry, I had to get some of those points out. I don't think it's going to take anything. I mean, I don't think anything's going to stop this train, Billy. I think that's where we have to get to. And I know that sounds very doomy, but I'm of the belief that if I look at the problem the way it really is, then I'll have a shot at finding the right solutions. You want to live life and you want to enjoy it and you want to, you never want to give in to these horrific people that are part of what's moving this thing forward, whether it's data centers, continual injections. And by the way, I always predicted, Billy, that COVID was the stick, the stick beating you with it. Take that shot or you'll lose your job. Take that shot or you're not going to go to college. And I said, the next time it's going to be a carrot. And what's the carrot, Billy?
I watch your X account. I'm guessing you're going to see these people shooting themselves up with peptides.
I've looked at documents that say that the GLP-1, that whole collection, that's the second wave of like the MK Ultra. That's wow. The second wave. That's your carrot. What people who just need to lose 15 or 20 pounds, you're going to mess with your endocrine system. Let me tell you the first thing I learned in the endocrine class in the medical school at the University of Rochester, day one, the professor said, I'm going to tell you one simple truth. And after that, it's going to get real complex. And we said, what? And he said, hormones are very powerful things in very tiny amounts. And you touch one, you're touching 1,000 others. Don't screw with it unless you know what you're doing. And we were like, because he's talking to future prescribers and things like that. Fast forward to your point. You, the public, you have no idea what you're dealing with. This thing with what they're all doing this, like making it sexy, right? Mm-hmm. Serena Williams, making it sexy, sticking her butt out and then putting this thing up against her thigh. It's disgusting. First they wanted you to line up. Now you're injecting yourself. Billy, it couldn't be more perfect. If you were evil, call me crazy. It couldn't be more perfect. Ha! We're getting them to shoot it up themselves. And you know something else? Billy, it didn't take long for people to trust an industry that just filled those syringes with a lot of poison, didn't it? And now you want to say, I'm just taking a peptide. First of all, peptide is a piece of a protein. Guys, come on. Hormones are proteins, okay? It's just a peptide. You're trusting an industry to inject yourself? And Billy, let me add one more piece, then I'll be quiet because I apologize. I'm a runaway guest.
You're knocking it out. Go ahead.
The Retatrutide, the newest one. Oh, it's a triple hit. It hits GIP, GLP, and glucagon. It's great. It's got all this stuff. First of all, how do you know what it is? Are you a chemist? Have you done a chemical analysis to make sure that's what you're injecting into your body? Do you know an injection is just another form of an intravenous? It's just a time-delayed intravenous. You know that, right? Unlike when you take a pill, that goes through a totally different process. Okay. Much less dangerous. I mean, you can kill yourself with pills, but it's much more difficult to do. You are basically putting it into the compartment. And number two, the retatrutide that everybody's like, their doctors are giving it to them. And look at your vials, people, because it says something on the vial, every one of them. It says for research use only. They're not, I know the FDA is a piece of crap and it's lying and it should be dismantled. I'm the first person, but it's not even FDA approved under their crappy, shoddy, you know, loosey goosey. It's experimental. There isn't even short-term data on it. Right? You're injecting an experimental drug yourself. It's the same thing as the COVID thing, except that they forced you to line up. Now you're willingly doing it, Billy.
Well, not me. I mean, wow, this is crazy. I mean, shot in the arm, shot in the head, either way you wind up dead, because the way these clowns operate, this is exactly why I don't have a whole lot of confidence. And people wonder why I call it the United States of Amnesia. I mean, because this just happened. We just found out that wealthy elite people are eating children and doing other unthinkable things, and still nobody cares. That's why I'm saying, for anybody, I'm getting to the point right now. I do this show and I do a number of other things, but largely I'm starting to check out of the United States of Amnesia, because I'm not. History proves that the only way to wake up a population that becomes this decadent is the crucible of really, really hard times. Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing in just over 250 years what it took the Romans 2 millennia to do. And nobody cares. I'm glad you got a, you know, like Gerald Celente often said, like he told me before, gold, guns, and a getaway plan. It sounds like you got one down to the Caribbean. I should probably talk to you privately about some stuff I heard from Dr. Cruz about those areas too. So I'll get with you on that offline. Yeah. There's one more thing I got to ask. I know we're coming close to the hour here, and everybody thought RFK, MTG, even Massey, and a number of others were going to be heroes that are going to come riding in and save the day. They thought the whole Trump administration was going to be that very thing. Foolishly. You see it differently. What are your thoughts on, let's say, I don't know if we have enough time for you to break them all down, but if you want to, knock it out. But what about RFK? Everybody seems to think this dude is, he hung the moon.
Well, he's been in position now almost 2 years. Did I get that right?
Pretty close.
So I think it's pretty clear. And it doesn't even have to do with the time in position. He went into his confirmation, Kennedy, and basically did a 180 in the confirmation hearing on everything he did up to that point. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody going to call me wrong on that?
Right.
Please
on.
Do. Okay. That I never trusted him. He was a total vaxxer. There's a little, you know, 60-second blurb I have with a Trojan horse and him coming out of it in his own voice before he even got involved in this, before he got involved in or came out with the Fauci book, where he basically said, I want to make something really clear. I'm all for vaccination. I vaccinated all 6 of my kids. And he's kind of, when he was running for president in 24, he brought that, you know, that anti-Fauci, that, you know, anti-vax, I wouldn't give my kids measles. We all had it, you know, we all had it. We were fine. We went back to school, you know, that whole thing. Then he went through his hearings. And since then, he sold his soul. Now, I was in the addiction medicine space. I'm just going to throw that out there for 7 years out of my 20 in pharma. That means you interface with all the great, you know, minds, scientific minds in that disease space. You write protocols, you run tests and things like that. So I was pretty immersed in it, in the medical illness that I believe it's a medical illness of addiction. It's like pedophilia in that it's 100%, you know, I guess some people could go all their lives and never fall back into it. But there's a certain illness and a certain personality that goes with that brain. And they learn how to lie. They lie to those that they love the most. And this is a 14-year heroin junkie who got some of his own cousins addicted to heroin. Okay. You just don't lose that ability to lie and deceive. So I don't know what people mean when they say he's done so much. You're reading the Kool-Aid, you're drinking that Kool-Aid of like a headline, or I'm going to do that, but you're ignoring him when he comes out and says Albert Bourla is the greatest in terms of setting a corporate model for selflessness, and that we're going to give the country Ozempic. Remember when he did that from the Oval Office?
Oh, yeah.
The country's going to lose 100 million pounds. He was literally a pharmaceutical whore, a whore for money. He sold himself for money. That's the definition of a whore, of a prostitute. He sold his life and his soul in front of the nation. I didn't make it up. I didn't say it. It's not rumor. He told you in that Oval Office, and it's in my social media. Go back and look at it. Mm-hmm. Get your heads out of the sand. So nobody's coming. Congress is made up of 535 cockroaches. Go back to Catherine Watts' opus, the American Domestic Bioterrorism Program. Congress has been in on every crime from the beginning. 200 years. She's got all the receipts. This Congress, I'll name them. Billy, I'm not afraid. Thomas Massey is a fraud and a scumbag and a transhumanist. MTG is a scumbag who holds Gilead stock. Gilead makes remdesivir that's still killing Americans in our hospitals today. She owns many, many rounds of stock. Don't tell me it's in her mutual funds. It's in her own signed federal financial disclosure form every year for the last few years, while she's holding dog and pony show phony hearings on Capitol Hill. Now she's out. Now she's gatekeeping from outside. Now she's telling you, maybe there's one little hope over here that we could get Fauci. Forget Fauci. Fauci was blanket pardoned by Biden. He was given a presidential commendation by Trump. And he his statute of limitations on the perjury that fake and fraud Rand Paul watched right in front of him in Congress three times and never said boo and made a criminal referral. Never. Right. They're frauds. Nobody's coming. Trump is a fraud. They're all traitors. I know this will probably get you off kicked off YouTube, but I don't really care. You know something, guys, you're burning daylight out there. I'm talking to you, the audience. You're burning daylight by not doing anything about it, by not preparing to survive, because really that's where I think this is going. When Billy asks me, what do you think it's going to take? I don't think there's enough guts, open eyes, whatever. They may have poisoned the majority of you. I don't know. But it's not going to take anything. Don't even to say what's it going to take means you're hoping for something to come in and save it. It's not going to happen. We say, yeah, it's we the people. It's we got to get enough people. Let me tell you something. It's going to happen. It's all going to happen. The data centers are going in. It's going to be a disaster. There are going to be some very hard times. You know, you need to start preparing mentally. Everybody can store a few cans of beans in the cellar. I'm not talking about that. Great. We all got prepping down to a science, right? But you have to start preparing mentally. I don't think people are doing that, Billy. They're not preparing. They're going to wait till there's a disaster and then look around their neighborhood and go, it's not going to be safe. You don't know who to approach. You don't know who's going to help you. You got to have those conversations now when the supply chains go down. Because the truth of the matter is, if they wanted to, it would probably take them a few months, but they can starve us if they want to. Eventually, even those of you out there that are farmers, right? You know this. You know it's finite. So,
you know, that's what a lot of people don't realize is that most people that are in this farm or even preparedness space, I mean, good night, folks. I mean, where do you get the feed for your chickens? You go to a store and get it, unless you're me. Where do you get the feed for your pigs? You go to the store and get it, unless you're me.
Right.
Where do you go to get all these other inputs that you need for these cattle and for your farming? Right. Unless you're listening to what we're talking about, you're on that pit.
You got to know what the feed was. Somebody said, well, it's tallow, beef, steak fries. Yeah, but how was that cow raised? Is it loaded with chemicals in its feed? Because that's going to come through the tallow. It's stored in the fat. Hello. And I have to laugh because one of your commenters, Billy, said, "Oh my God, Billy loves Massey, LOL." But anyway, I'm going to tell you, I forgot to mention why I believe all 535 cockroaches on Capitol Hill, including Massey and MTG and Rand Paul, everybody you think is your hero, is a scumbag. I'm going to tell you why. There's one thing and one thing that, off the top of my head. They all exempted themselves from the shots. While the rest of you, that told me everything, Billy. While the rest of you out there, the rest of us, fought for your lives, fought for your jobs. Our military was given a self-harm order, and those cockroaches never stopped it.
I'm glad you pointed that out. See, what people don't realize is just because I may have, had high hopes for a person in the past doesn't mean I'm not going to change my mind when I get better information. And check it out. For those out there, for whoever this flower person is in there, you know what? I liked the guy until I found out what was under his fingernails. And then when I find that out, unlike these Trump tards out there, when you find out that this person is a skunk, I'm going to call them out. And honestly, Dr. Ruby, that's what everybody loves about you, is that you're going to speak truth to power. I don't care how much this person is loved or liked or whatever.
Right.
Look, and if you're a party to murder, I'm going to call you out.
Right. I didn't get a chance to say this to the audience. I've said it so many times. You have to understand, I wasn't a lefty, Trump hater, this and that. I worked on his 2016 campaign. For those of you out there who think I'm just a plain Trump hater, it evolved from his actions. I worked in the Office of Presidential Correspondence for 18 months. I worked for Trump in the Trump first term. I was in and out of the West Wing daily when I did that. I loved the man. I've met him several times. In the early 2016 campaign, you could go to a rally and sit there and talk with him for an hour afterwards. I mean, look, this thing evolved. I don't become a sycophant because somebody did, some good things earlier. If they turned into somebody who's doing wrong by the country, we came out and said he's going to, the latest thing is, what do you think? He taunted the crowd the other night with, I'm going to make open carry, whatever it is, a national thing. Hey, I don't need you to do that, dude.
I've got a Second Amendment.
I don't need you to give me power. Now, anybody who talks like that and any of these people, this is a guy who converted supposedly to rights. I don't like to get into the abortion thing. I just don't think the government should have anything to do with it. But this guy was, I'm for life. And then when he ran in the 2020 election, I believe a woman should have 15 weeks to decide. Are you kidding me? You got a full grown baby in there. But what I'm saying is he just flips and these people still suck off of his teat. And you got to start looking at what people do and what they don't do. Otherwise, you're going to walk right off the cliff with them.
Well, it seems so many people are willing to do that very thing. I mean, we are in a place where I don't care who, if I had a person I thought was my best friend and all of a sudden I find out they're a serial killer, I'm not going to stay on board. As long as you're doing what's in the best interest of we the people, then I will be a champion for you. The moment I find out you're a skunk, you're out.
Let me add one more thing to this person's question. What are you doing? What am I doing? I'm out here with my real name, my real face, every single day, helping, trying to save lives, getting the word out at great risk to myself and my family, while you sit there like a coward with a fake picture and a fake name and nobody knows who you are. It's real easy to criticize others when you don't come forward. Grow a pair, show your face, show your real name, and then give us your opinion.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that's even a person. I'll be honest with you, Dr. Ruby. There are people that I have on here, certain types, and then all of a sudden the bots pop up. So I've never seen that name before, so it wouldn't shock me if that's exactly
what they follow me. I mean, the haters follow me just like the lovers, Billy.
I tell you what, you're giving them a lot of ammo for the people that hate you, especially these Trump tards that are on board for, this guy. Oh man, I could go in so many different ways.
I would love it, Billy. I would love it. I would love nothing more. I swear to God, if he did what he said he was going to do, if we didn't have to go through this. I have a small fantasy in the back of my head that I wake up tomorrow and the whole thing, I'm like, you know, Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz when she wakes up in the house and she goes, oh my God, you won't believe what I've been through and where I've been and the houses were flying and this and that. And they go, oh dear, calm down. I want to wake up like that, Billy, and say to people, you wouldn't, oh my God, the world is okay. Oh, gee, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Right? I want that more than anything, but it's not right. I don't want this to happen.
Yeah, I would absolutely love it. But I knew this guy was a complete skunk, especially this second time around. When the first thing you do on the second day in office is to give $500 billion to a bunch of oligarchs to put us into a bigger digital prison. And believe me, my former career used to be a journeyman electrician for the IBEW. I built lots of data centers and I know exactly how these things work. And I'm here to tell you, the last 10 years of my career, that's what I did. Had no idea that these things had, well, now we fundamentally knew that we were building our own prisons at the same time, but I no longer do that work. But I know exactly how devastating these things can actually be. And
hey, Billy, is there a difference from what you've seen between the data centers going up now and the ones that you've seen? Because some people are saying, well, you know, we've always had data centers, you know, 44,000 acres. I mean,
nothing like this. I had run the data center back in Kansas City for the Cerner Corporation. I was the guy building. I was the guy in charge. I was the guy doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
It was considered at that time a massive footprint for a data center. I have since worked at the one for the Facebook data center in Fort Worth, Texas, and just one little portion of one building, there were five there, one portion dwarfed the one I worked on at that time. Now, they have emerged and they have changed. I can tell you some crazy stories of what happened in those data centers in terms of some of the devices they were bringing in there that I've been doing this work for almost 30 years. And I know my way around these things. I know what a server looks like, but there were things that they were bringing in there. Probably ought to save that for another discussion, but were things that they were bringing in that we couldn't explain. And at that time, I don't recall anybody talking about the level of water that was used. Now, I've since spoken to, I can't give this guy's name. I can say his name is Ryan. And he's one of the biggest engineers in charge of building some of these massive data centers. Mm. And I spoke to another guy in Kansas City. And I said, Ryan, what's this big deal about the water? Like I said, he's the top engineer there. He says, bro, I can't explain it, but they are literally taking water from the aquifer in these systems. They're closed loop systems, or supposed to be. He says, how they're polluting this water, we do not know. It could be like a powerhouse where you take the water, use it, and then you recycle it back through. But they're not doing it with these data centers. They're taking it in, somehow polluting it in a way that we can't understand, and then putting it back out into the environment. So there's a whole lot of moving parts in here where they're draining the Ogallala aquifer going through Oklahoma, Texas, basically all through the Midwest is about dry, and they're putting in more of them.
And remember what I said earlier, they're trying to, it takes a lot to kill 2 or 3 billion people. They're trying to make the box smaller. So you destroy the aquifers. Now the wells don't work, right? I mean, you destroy the natural reserves of water in the world. You destroy the soil, or damage the soil, I should say, enough so that you can't get anything to grow except their seeds. I think it's a setup for super dependence on the grid, on the government, on the big tech government. And so you won't have any, you know, you'll be boxed in. You won't have anywhere to turn. You won't be able to find a clean cow to get fresh milk. You won't be able to find, you know, right now we have the luxury, I call it, of our local ranchers. You know, many of us, I'm sure people have done this across the country. Our local ranchers, I mean, we know them intimately like friends. I see them every weekend. We support them in every possible way. And they have their horror stories. You know, they might slaughter 5 animals a month for the meat that they sell. So, you know, these are limited things. And what I'm saying is that is I see that as a luxury, because eventually, and the local farming, you, like Dr. Cruz says, you want to eat produce that was grown in the parallel that you're in, the infrared light and the sun. I'm a student, by the way, so to speak, a self-proclaimed student of a lot of Dr. Cruz's work, because the light has a lot to do with healing. We are light. We are electrical beings. I mean, if you understand how a synapse works, worked in a lot of neuroscience over the years, it's an electrochemical event. It is electricity creating a depolarization, calcium floods the cell, and boom, you've got an action potential. That we are electrical. We are biochemical. We're frequency. We're light. You wear, that's another rabbit hole, but you wear polyester, viscous, you know, those are plastics. You're literally wearing, bathing your skin in plastic all day long. This is why there's a reversion to, you know, cotton's good. That's about 100 Hertz. Linen, pure flax linen is 5,000 Hertz. It's actually healing and antimicrobial. So there are all these things that we're kind of racing to bring back. You know, that grandmother, my grandparents were actually, I just realized this the other day, Billy, my grandparents were born in the 1800s.
Wow.
Did you hear what I just said, everybody?
Oh, yeah.
Like not 1820, but I mean, you know, the late 1800s. So they immigrated here from Italy at the turn of the century. By the time they were 10, 12, 15 years old, and a couple of them came over alone at like 12 years old. Scary. But what I'm saying is, I remember the linen, and I thought, oh, that old-fashioned stuff. Oh, my God, what am I doing? And my grandmother canning and using, you know, we were upstate New York, so everybody had a cellar, and it was cold. And I thought, why do they want to do this? It's so unmodern. Man, Billy, I wish I was 5 years old. I wish I had been taking notes. Dude, there was nothing to record. There were no phones. And you know, you didn't even have you had one camera for a family of 20. I mean, all that information. But we're getting it back. That's what's going to save us. It's not about what's it going to take to prevent. There's nothing that's going to stop this train. That's where I am right now. What you have to do is you have to find as many self-reliant parallel pieces for yourself. I like the alliances. I've got an electrician across the street. He and his wife, they'll do anything for me. I'm a medical person. I have prepared an entire closet. It's a closet with shelving. I mean, I can do sutures. I can't do surgery. I mean, I would if someone's life depended on it and nothing else was around, but it's not my choice. But I can do so many medical things with this. So I'll be one of the point persons in my neighborhood for that, right? But the electrician, so we can create enough energy using, you know, I know your community knows this. You know, electroculture can speed up the growing. We can create some electrical charge and energy with, I'm just starting to learn this now. If you haven't already had him on your show, and I don't mean to digress, get Matt Roski on from Cultivate Elevate.
He's a friend of mine.
Oh my God, I adore him. We've been working together for about a year. I absolutely adore him. I learn every day from him. That's why the house is filled with linen, copper, cookware, glass. Everything's glass. I've minimized the plastic. You can't get rid of all of it, but yeah, don't take the copper out of your house.
No, I'm right there with you. Good night. I'm realizing that I'm only going to get through about 2% of the questions I've been, because there are things I've wanted to ask you.
Sorry.
But no, hey, if we can get you back.
Hey, Billy, you want to do a lightning round for like 2 minutes and then we'll come back? It's up to you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely.
If I promise to give like a one sentence.
No. You want to do that right now? That's cool with me.
If you have time. Yeah.
No, I definitely have time. Okay. Well, data centers, what are your thoughts on those in terms of EMF and the harm that they could do?
Bad. I think it's going to accelerate our illness and our early death and culling.
Okay, the status on the clot shots. Are people going to continue to succumb to these things?
Yes. People are going to be dying for generations. They're going to be getting sick for generations. And the biggest thing that these shots are creating is subsequent generational infertility. There's no question about it. I've seen a ton of live research done on it. And we don't remember. we don't know what's in any shot at any given moment, even within the same lot number. So you don't know what's coming. Go.
Okay. Are there any pharmaceuticals out there that you trust?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This is an industry that banks on your illness. And when you get sick or a side effect, they have another drug for it. There is nothing good that can come out of pharmacia. Go.
Okay. Did we actually leave the WHO? Because we were told that we did.
Absolutely not. The international health regulations, it's been signed, sealed, and delivered. Another Kennedy sellout, a Becerra before him. It's all locked and loaded. All they have to do is use the magic words when Tedros says public health emergency of international concern, PHEIC, run, because you're in trouble and the United States and every other country is going to get on their knees. And I see you have your red sun, your red glasses on. I usually put them on around five or six too. And then I go into the evening. And then if I watch TV at all at night, it's only with my red glasses. Anyway, go ahead. Go, lightning round.
Okay. Do you wear your red? Okay. Oh, shoot.
I've replaced every bulb in my house that I could get to with incandescent. I can't get to the, because I'm partially disabled from breast cancer. You know, this was before we knew, this was 15 years ago, bilateral mastectomy down to the chest wall. So, and I'm also 71 years old, so I don't get on big ladders anymore when I'm alone.
Okay. Yeah. You got an electrician across the street.
I may have him. I have a brother-in-law who's an electrician, but he said to me, be careful. Your house is relatively new. It may be wired for a lower power LED. So if you start putting incandescents in everything, so I'm leaving the canisters alone. I just don't use them. You know, the ceiling cans but everything else, what do you call a chandelier, you know, like hanging lamps and stuff, all incandescent. And by the way, the federal government under Trump, Obama, and Biden all made it illegal to sell incandescents over 40 watt, these scumbags. So I go to Goodwill, I go to vintage places, I just buy boxes of incandescents for 60 watt and 100 watt that I can get my hands on, and I'm hoarding them.
Smart. What I do is get the incandescent appliance bulbs and I put them in everything.
That's what I'm doing too. Over 40 watts. But I'm sitting here right now in the studio, which I'm going to have to think of an alternative for this studio, because the reason I'm under bright lights is for the camera. But I think I'm going to have to forego some of that, because these are all LEDs. And after about an hour, I do start to feel sick. My eyes are burning. That doesn't happen. When I asked 1000bulbs.com, I literally talked to them for a couple hours. And I said, we were troubleshooting. I said, how can I replace the studio? And they said, Dr. Jane, you'll be sitting in the dark, like in the dark with an appliance bulb, even at 60 watts in your, you know, these are big bulbs. They're like this big and they're, you know, killing me softly. So,
well, I got one cool trick that I learned from Dr. Cruz to get around it is to crack a window. That way, through the photoelectric effect, you're at least getting some of the offset. Plus, I have incandescents in here. You can put, there's a blue blocking thing you can put on your computer. And of course, the problem is melanopsin is also in your skin. So, your eyes, you may be protecting your eyes, but you're still getting it through the skin. So, back to the lightning round.
Yeah, and I put the phones on red after 5 p.m. You know, we get melatonin going. Okay, go.
I do the same thing. Yeah, back to the lightning round. Okay, what's one belief that you held 10 years ago that you no longer accept?
Botox.
Okay.
You know, I mean, 10 years ago, yeah, I did some Botox. I thought it was fun. Now, I wouldn't touch anything that comes in a needle. And especially from the pharmaceutical industry. So that has totally changed. And that's been changed for the last 5 years. So I just live in castor oil. I mean, I keep saying it. I know I don't look it, but I am going to be 72 in October. And while I did have an Italian grandmother and mom who had beautiful skin, it doesn't matter. I am in the sun a lot. As Dr. Cruz says, I've built up my solar callus.
There you go. That's something I've worked on too. In fact, if you catch me on the wrong day out here, you might catch me in a way you don't want to see me, which is naked, because I pretty much do most everything outside. Yeah, I'm sure it's freaking some folks out around here. Okay, I got one for you. What question do you wish interviewers would ask you, but none of them never have?
Wow. Oh, Billy. I think that you get the award for stumping Dr. Jane in 5 years. What question do I think? You know, I'm always so direct about getting information out that I don't even wait for someone to ask me a question. I guess a question I like to answer is something relative to, why do you do this? Or what would you be doing if you weren't doing this? And, you know, I've often said, I don't want to do this. But I saw this calling. I saw this as a calling because I saw the reach grow. I started with Stu Peters. I didn't feel that he was treating me right. Things went off the rails and I left, and that died suddenly thing happened. And I left, and I, a leap of faith, I prayed on it, and God said, go do your own thing. I won't let you fall. And so I've been doing it ever since. And I've seen the reach grow and grow and grow on these platforms. And look, I'm not saying I'm some, you know, Joe Rogan size or anything like that. A lot of it was helped by Alex Jones. I always will give Alex credit for giving me a chance. A lot of people got their start substituting for Alex's fourth hour. I was very shocked that he wanted me. I didn't even know he knew I was on the planet. We since spar on it, you know, and then I did Owen's show and all that. And those things gave me more reach, which allowed me to get to more people. I'm a kind of Schindler. In my mind, I just want to save one more child from getting stuck. If I could just save one more grandparent because they don't have to die, you know, I just want one more. That's all I want. And that's really why I'm doing this.
Wow. That's why you're such a winner and a hero to so many of us out there. Dr. Ruby, where does everybody find you?
You find me on Twitter. I don't like to call it X. I'm a rebel. So on Twitter, I am Real Dr. Jane Ruby, and I have about 12 imposters. Please be aware, I'm the only one with the blue check mark. And Rumble, I'm on Rumble as well, Billy. And I've had a great following there, and everything gets uploaded. I do live streams on Twitter, but everything permanently gets archived for now on Rumble. And of course, I have my own private archive that is in fireproof, you know, containers, you know, in case my, you know, my family someday wants to, you know, for posterity, or in case somebody wants them for educational purposes. I've done a lot of podcasts that are really educational.
Oh yeah. Well, you've been a real inspiration for me and a number of us out here, and it's just been a joy and an honor. I'm so shout out and a hat tip to my man, Dane Wigington out there. For being able to make this possible, because I was like, oh, you know, Dr. Ruby, man, hook me up, dude. I've been wanting to talk to her for years. Can't seem to get through. It's probably my email that's messing with me.
And let me tell you something. He adores you. And I want to tell you that I think we had a couple of other mutual friends, but it just was off my radar until Dane brought it up. There are only two people that Dane has ever connected me with, and you're one of the two. The other one is Representative Lee Gilreath from, is it Indiana? No, South Carolina. And if Dane recommends somebody, that's it across the board. Such an honest and great, wonderful human being.
I feel lucky to know him. I mean, actually the genuine article. And, I got a feeling that, you know, when he recommended, because there's so many fakes in this business, so many people that are more polished than spit and more glitter than grit when it comes down to brass tacks, or they won't cover the things that are important. Everybody out there has always loved the fact that people like you and Dane and a handful of others, and there aren't a whole lot, that are speaking truth to power, and consequences be damned. So yeah. I'm just been such a joy to have you on here. Folks, we're going to have her back because I got about another 30 more questions. Dr. Ruby, stick around for a minute afterwards. I got a couple of things you probably want to know about. And I want to thank everybody out there for checking out the Permaculture Pimp Cast. As you know, permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes prostitutes. We cover it all. Till next time, stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture 3, let the ideas unfold.
the harmony begins in the cycle of life. For the magic's alive, tune it to the beat, feel the vibe and thrive. So much green.